This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had. And the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day. And everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-BONE at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-BONE.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
All right, let's go around the NFL here as we often do in the loop. Well, I say often, literally every day at this time at 11, we go around the NFL. And John Lopez, hey. Once again, I would just like to salute Azeez Al-Shaair for being the Texans nominee for the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award. According to the NFL, the most prestigious award in all of the NFL. Obviously, each of the NFL teams puts up a person, because I saw someone, they were like, it's got to be Azeez, right? I'm interested in that. The tough part about, though, is you see names, and it's not about who's the best player to get award. It's about their impact in the community.
Who does the most. And by the way, I'm glad you brought it up again here, because I'm reading from the Texans' release, and I knew some of this. I didn't know all the things he does. I mean, he is all about it. Big time United Way. If you don't know the story, we've talked about it with him on this show in the past. I mean, he was homeless for a good amount of time growing up, and benefited from the United Way. He helps now big time the United Way. Covenant House, we're familiar with that with Frank Ross. They give the haircuts and all that. He got real involved with that. But also the Texas Community Huddle Ticket Program, the Hype Freedom School, and Muslim organization.
That one is near and dear to his heart. Yes. You know, reflecting his faith in his community.
He does a lot with the National First Responders Day, the Texas Girls Flag Football. I mean, just all over the community. So very well deserving. And to your point, it's not like, because J.J. Watt won it, I believe, in 2017 after Harvey, or 2018, after all he did for Harvey.
He won it.
That's why he wore the Walter Payton the rest of his career. Wore that patch. If you see that patch, that's someone who won the actual NFL, you know, national or whatever you want to call it, Walter Payton Award. But that being said, it doesn't have to be a big name like J.J. Watt. You know, it's just what you have done.
Yeah, because last year, Petrie was nominated.
Yeah.
And then I remember in the past years, Justin Reed was nominated one time, which was very hilarious, because that same year, remember, he got suspended for a game.
Oh, that's right.
From David Culley.
Yeah.
And then I want to say that week later, it was like,
by the way,
Walter
he's Payton. Not available this week to talk about it. Because,
But you know what's funny? I'm looking back at the past winners of the Walter Payton Man of the Year.
Mm-hmm.
There's some hitters on here. Like, can I run you back? I'm going to run you back in descending order. 2024, Eric Armstead of the Jags. Now, you know, I guess at that point in his career, maybe not as much, but he's been really good. Cam Hayward in 2023 of the Steelers, really good. Dak Prescott in 22, you mentioned, pretty damn good. Andrew Whitworth at that point playing with the Rams. Incredible.
He does a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Your favorite, Russell Wilson. When in 2020 for the Seahawks.
That was a PR stunt.
Goodness gracious. Calais Campbell, Chris Long. Obviously, you mentioned J.J. Watt 2017. Mm-hmm. Eli Manning, Larry Fitzgerald, Anquan Boldin, Thomas Davis.
Mm-hmm.
Charles Tillman.
It do kind of got to have a little sparkle, though, right?
It seems
like the winners.
It probably doesn't hurt. Yeah.
Yeah, you're saying
because they do it on their big year end show at the Super Bowl, or I think
at the NFL Awards.
Let me ask y'all this. I don't know what everybody else is doing that's nominated, but do you feel like he have any type of chance, or just the NFL is just gonna look at him like, man, we can't let him win this one?
Just basic probability says he likely does not win it, being one of 32. Mm-hmm. And I see you on the 832. Congrats, Aziz. You won't win because you're the dirtiest player in the NFL. Yeah. One, I cannot believe that to be true. However, I hear where you're coming from.
Yeah, but see, in Houston, we don't feel that way.
Right.
Outside of Houston, I can see people being like, oh, why is he nominated?
Mm-hmm. I don't, not just the numbers game. I think they probably ultimately would lean toward a bigger name just because, but you never know. He's done a lot, and it is well-deserved.
Yeah, they are considering this from that perspective as much as, we're kind of talking about, oh, there's some good players. Mm-hmm. It is about what's done, and I see you, 929. Not to take away from them, but to be fair, the big names have the most money to donate. It's not about putting money down. This is about work and effort. Now, I think there is the correlation between players that are better on their teams probably have more leeway to spend time in those ways as opposed to being concerned with, I got to do everything to stay on this team and stay on this roster. I think that might be something that correlates a little bit. But again, congratulations to Aziz. It's not a small award. It's a big thing.
Just real quick, some of the names that have, because I have the entire list from the teams. Mm-hmm. There's not a lot of huge names, and there are some.
Jordan Love's on there.
Yeah, but it's not all about that. I believe Jeffrey Simmons is one that's on there, but not a whole lot of, what you would call superstar-type names on the 2025 list.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
All right, some other things around the NFL. Did you see that there was a tight end in the National Football League that got a contract extension?
I did.
The Ravens extended a tight end, and I'm going to be honest, it wasn't the tight end that I would have imagined that they would extend. Mm-hmm. Mark Andrews, and you're saying, Reggie, what the hell? Mark Andrews has been great for them. Absolutely. Three-year, $39.3 million contract extension. But we've seen Mark Andrews seemingly slowing down to some degree. I'm not saying that he's bad by any means now, but he is slowing down. It's the all-time leading receiver there for the Baltimore Ravens, $26 million guaranteed for him, which basically feels like it's the 2 years guaranteed and that third year is not. But yeah, that Eric Costa excited. He mentioned the idea of him being an all-time Raven, and this seems like it's one of those we kind of want you to retire here type moves. However, John Lopez, and maybe this is too aggressive and maybe this is too callous, does it feel like the Ravens are losing their edge? Or maybe losing their fastball? Because this, I'm not sure if this was a move that was made out of the shrewdness that I think the Ravens typically make moves with.
I didn't know where you were going to go with this, but I totally agree because that's what I was thinking. I was feeling they're kind of trying to keep the band together as best they can and hope for the best. I mean, Lamar Jackson is not playing well. Well, by his standards, he's not playing well. And I think they're just like, we got Derrick Henry. He's long in the tooth. By the way, Derrick Henry is one of the big names for the club.
Yes, he is.
For the club man of the year awards. I think they're just like, you know what? Let's just try to run this the next couple of years, see what happens.
But Isaiah Likely is, and Isaiah Likely is a tight end that feels a lot more like a wide receiver at times. Like Mark Andrews is more of that all-round tight end.
Yeah.
But I guess there is something to be said for keeping an organizational history and having that through line.
Yeah.
It just felt like, oh, okay, just big-time extension for Mark Andrews, who, if you remember, was, not to say that this needs to be the entirety of the way
it's
look at his career.
Oh, it's part of the story, man.
But last year was probably you could single him almost out as a reason why you end out your season last year.
Yeah.
And it felt like, hey, this does not feel like the shrewdness that the Ravens have. But, we'll see how it continues to progress for them, because it's hard for me to believe that Lamar Jackson continues to look as bad as he has
this year.
And that, the team, finds a way to bounce back to being some level of contender or what have you.
And they're still in the hunt for the division.
They are. Yeah. They are. Which, that division looks wild. I saw someone.
6-6.
I saw someone
division
projecting.
Division leader.
Projecting out that division. And I had long rid myself of the idea that the Bengals would win the division. Someone was like, yeah, I think the Bengals win the division. I was like, damn, that is likely. Or that is possible, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. That's just a bad division.
which is crazy because that has been one of the best divisions in football for a long time. A reminder that you can't, you know, what's happening in sports is not always going to be this way. You remember the time, you remember, speaking of the Chiefs that you're going in and playing on Sunday, you remember not all that long ago, the Chiefs were just bad.
Oh, yeah. They were the team that just couldn't get over the hump.
They were just
bad.
Yes.
Yeah.
And now they're at least they represent a level of consistency in the NFL over the last how many seasons. But all right, you continue around the NFL. And John Lopez, are you with me in the assertion that Thursday Night Football tonight could be one of the best Thursday Night Footballs that we get all year long?
Oh, yeah. Lions, Cowboys, a lot on the line, obviously. Cowboys, you know, really starting to click a little bit. Lions, a little bit in desperation mode.
A lot in desperation mode.
A lot in desperation mode. No Amon-Ra, perhaps. I think he's questionable for tonight.
And that's not the only. I feel like they have a few other kind of injury things that they're looking at, which makes it even more dire what they're dealing with, the you know, kind of injuries that are happening around the team right now. So, yeah, Jameson Williams is going to be important in this game if Amon-Ra St. Brown is dealing with. I think Sam LaPorta, their tight end, who's been really good, he's on IR right now. They're dealing with some stuff, and they're facing off against a Cowboys team that is a NFL broadcasting partner's dream.
My goodness.
Right now.
I know you saw these numbers.
So there's this part, which is the last Thursday night football game, which is, or not Thursday night, but the last Thursday game where you think about on Thanksgiving. Goodness, you think I could get something right. Was Chiefs-Cowboys. Literally the single most watched NFL regular season game, 57.2 million viewers, which beats the record, the previous record, by 36%.
That's so stupid. 57 million people watch this game. Cowboys, obviously, always a draw, always on national television, and the Chiefs in the last, you know, 6 or 8 years, clearly the team that people want to watch. 57, though?
That's crazy.
That's an incredible number.
And the thing about it is when numbers get so big, they don't actually matter to us.
They don't seem real.
We as Americans are bad at math anyways. But like that 36% jump over the previous record, like that's not how things are supposed to work. I don't think that this one will break those kind of numbers. But when I say the Cowboys are a broadcaster's dream, it's not just that. They're a fun football team now.
We said it, and we have to obviously – you know, it's not fun because they're the Cowboys, but we said it a couple of weeks ago. They're starting to look like a team that is, well, they are. They are a team that is just fun to watch. And they're a dangerous team. They are a dangerous team.
Offense gets up and down in a big way. The defense is finding, I don't know exactly how fixed the defense is, though.
Mm-hmm. But they're better.
But they definitely are better. They gave these Chiefs some issues. They gave the Eagles a lot of issues. It seems like they might have more to them. Who are you believing more in over there? Because it feels like if you were just taking this on its face, you'd probably go Cowboys. But remember, the Cowboys are, where are they sitting right now? A 6-5-1 compared to these Lions being 7-5 for the playoffs there. Which of these teams do you think, one, wins this game, but two, has a better chance of actually getting into the NFC side of this playoff?
Well, look, if the Cowboys win, then I think they clearly are going to have the better chance than the Lions. But I want, as much as I've been incredibly, as a lot of people have, incredibly impressed by what the Cowboys have been looking like, I can't quite give up on the Lions just yet. I know they've had their issues, play calling and all that stuff, offensively. They're just too good, like up and down the roster.
Give up how? Do you feel like
as a contending team, as a team that can, you know?
Okay, because I still feel like they could probably get into the playoffs. But I'm kind of out on them as a Super Bowl, like getting to a Super Bowl or NFC Championship game.
I saw Kyle Brandt on Good Morning Football today talking about the Lions, and he was like, we're not seeing the team that one Dan Campbell described when he got up on that podium like as knee biter. And it's like, that's actually a good point. And some of that was the question that we asked in the offseason, which is this team going to look the same with Aaron Glenn going to New York and Ben Johnson going to Chicago? And right now you look at the Chicago Bears leading the NFC over there. Not the NFC North, the NFC period with him over there. Aaron Glenn, they've had more wins in the last 5 weeks the Jets have than the Lions have, a wild thing to say. Like, they're going to need to see if they can refine that identity that Dan Campbell set them on this path.
And that's why I hesitated, because it, you know, both those things are true. I just, you know, at some point, although they've been injured too, you know, so they've been missing some guys.
It's December in the National Football League. Point to me the team that ain't injured.
Yeah.
You know?
Maybe I'm going to change my mind. Maybe the Cowboys have a better run.
That's wild. What a wild thing to say. Something?
They got
to
win a lot, though, man.
Yeah.
They need some help, too.
Yeah, they definitely do. I've seen people on the YouTube page, not today, but like in the last few days, mm-hmm. they're like, bring on the all-Texas Super Bowl. And I'm like, it's kind of crazy because that would be quite a mirror of either side of things mm-hmm. with teams starting poorly and then kind of finding their way back into this. I still don't feel like the Cowboys are on the same level as the Texans because
I don't know that
they have, even with that offense being really good and Pickens and CeeDee Lamb, it doesn't feel like they do on offense what the Texans do on defense quite.
Correct.
All right, and real quick before we go, I wanted to make this note. With Wednesday, you get these, you get your injury reports.
Mm-hmm.
I'll take you to El Segundo, California, where the Los Angeles Chargers do their work. Justin Herbert did not practice on Wednesday, but he also had surgery on his hand on Monday.
That makes sense then.
And I say this, obviously, we're kind of monitoring this mm-hmm. leading up to now week 17, which is a few weeks in the future. However, the plan is to prepare as if I'm going to play and see how the next couple days goes, Justin Herbert says.
Yeah.
He's trying to play this week.
He might show up at the game for the first time and play.
Mm-hmm.
That is wild, but definitely going to be something that I continue to watch over this week and over the upcoming weeks, because that's gonna matter. Or maybe if the Texans do what they're supposed to do this week, that might not even matter. How crazy will it be mm-hmm. to have gone from 0-3 to maybe you could even get to a place where week 17 you're like, okay,
no, we're good.
All right,
yeah, we're good.
Wild things that the Texans have been able to pull off. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, it's a Thursday, so we talk to our friend, defensive specialist and expert, Andy Kalu. Let's talk to him next in the loop.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had, and the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day, and everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-Bone at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-Bone.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
11:20 on a Thursday means we take it to the phone line to talk to one of our favorites. He is Rice University's own, a former NFL defensive lineman, and also that includes with your Houston Texans. He is one of my favorite Nigerians, and for that I have to lean into something I saw on the internet. He's the chief. He's Chapman Nduku Dike Kalu. ND, what's happening, my man?
Yeah.
Why, you really sounded like one of my uncles right there. I was about to call you Unc.
That was me pairing it back, because we both know that when your Nigerian is trying to gas you up, It's about 13 minutes of titles that you don't actually have.
Exactly.
You know, so, but I figured we don't have that time. We had to jump right into Andy. How you doing, man?
Man, I am so good. I'm good. I'm excited about these Texans. I'm sure you're going to bring up the middle of the defense, but either way, I'm excited about what's
going on. I will, and this is the thing. We had a conversation during that game while it was still looking a little crazy before it got into the real fun parts about this, and I figured I need to flip it on its head, so I will start there. I'm talking about the interior of the defense, but can you, with your experience on the defensive line, explain to us just how impressive it is what the defense decided to do in putting Will Anderson Jr. up the middle to go up and absolutely obliterate a center in the way that he did.
Oh, that play was so nasty. I mean, that was probably one of my favorite plays of the game. Now, people do it. I mean, it's not anything new to take an athletic, physical edge rusher and move him around. We used to call it the Joker position, and you could either spy the quarterback or blitz from a two-point, which down defensive linemen love to do. You know, when you spend your whole life in a three-point stance, there's something about being able to just work from a two-point stance. It just feels good. It feels cool. And the way he just ran through the center, I was like, goodness gracious. Like, the center knew he was coming.
Yeah.
Like, he saw him. The centers know, like, who's blitzing. And for him to know that it was coming and still get run over and pushed back to the lap of the quarterback the way he did, it just goes to show how powerful and explosive Will Anderson is.
Well, I left that game, and we talked about it earlier this week. I want to see more of that. I mean, that they were using him, as I put it, and maybe you disagree, kind of like Myles Garrett. You know, where do you want to put him? Is that something that can happen even with just the success of maybe one or two players where coaching staffs and players realize, hey, this is something we got to do more of?
No, absolutely, John. I'm with you 100%. And you brought up Myles Garrett, but the way moving a guy like Will Anderson in a two-point and having him off the line, it reminds me of what Michael Parsons was doing with the Dallas Cowboys. And I think Will Anderson, he's more of a moving forward, physical, where Michael Parsons can drop in coverage, flip his hips, and you want to utilize his entire athleticism. But when you move a guy like Will Anderson around, at the very minimum, it gives the offensive coordinator something else to think about. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times when you create schemes on the defensive side of the ball, when you have different packages, yes, you're doing it to have success, which is a tackle for a loss, a tackle, but it's also to make the offensive coordinator dig deeper into his bag, to make him think twice about certain plays that they're going to run. But yes, with what Will Anderson's able to do, you should absolutely do it more. But keep in mind, not every time he's lined up off the line of scrimmage, he's going to run through the center, because you better believe Patrick Mahomes saw that play and he went to Andy Reid and said, hey, what are we going to do when this monster is lined up 5 yards off the ball?
Yeah.
So they're going to come up with their own blocking schemes for that.
Yeah, but how much can you help in that circumstance? Because, like, my lesser understanding of this is, like, you can kind of help on the edges. Helping up the interior is why that particular like a lineman thing is so dangerous and devious. Is there much you can do to try and support the interior in those circumstances?
Yeah, I'm not going to pretend to be an OC, but if I saw something like that, my first thought is, okay, I'm going to run the Texas route. And when you think Texas route, just picture the running back running from the backfield. He initially starts towards the sideline, and then he cuts aggressively to the middle of the field. Because my thought would be, if Will Anderson's lining up there, the typical or traditional middle linebacker isn't there, and as he's sprinting up to demolish my center, there's going to be a quick gap in the middle. So you do something like that where you audible, you know, Texas. Well, obviously you won't say Texas route because that gives it away, but you'll say something like Lone Star, and then you have the running back run that Texas route, and it just keeps the defense honest. So even if it's not so much the blocking scheme, but there are certain things you can do just to continue to keep the defense honest.
As well as the Texans have been playing, Andy, including offensively outside of some red zone hiccups, could this be a true statement type game, and does that even resonate in the locker room?
No, well, here's the thing. I think because of the hole that they dug themselves in, you're in a position now where you dang near have to win out. And I'm not saying you have to win every single game, but again, because of the hole that you put yourself in, I thought last week the Colts were running high. You know, at the time they were ahead of the division, their offense has scored 21 or more points every single week. And I felt like the Texans made a statement. Well, guess what? You're going to have to make another statement because you still have what I believe is the best quarterback in the game coming to town. Their backs are against the wall. This is a, you know, de facto must win for the Kansas City Chiefs. Mm-hmm. So I think because of the hole that they dug themselves in and this awesome run that they've had, every game can be considered a statement game.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience. And it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had. And the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day. And everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-Bone at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-Bone.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Mm-hmm. We're talking to ND Kalu here in the Loop on Sports Radio 610. And ND, I mean, we are all familiar with one Patrick LeVon Mahomes II. And what he's capable of doing in those magic moments where it's like, hey, the play is extended and here I am making plays. And it's only gotten crazier this year. Like his passer rating and things of that nature when he holds the ball for 4 seconds is insane. Would you, in your defensive expertise, would you spy him? Do you think that that is a good use of resources in a game like this? Or is that even something that will affect what he typically would do?
Is that his real middle name, LeVon?
It is.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just nothing says I have a black dad and a white mom like a name like Patrick and LeVon. Like,
I hadn't thought of it like that.
we see what side he's leaning towards on that, because if he was a little more of the culture, he would be LeVon Mahomes, and we would know, like, oh, his real name's Patrick.
Yeah, but his daddy's name is Patrick, right? So you keep the Patrick for the name to pass, and then LeVon.
Look, his daddy's name might be Patrick, but I've seen that brother. He act like a LeVon. Those black and mild lips say LeVon all over.
Oh, wow. He's not wrong. That man love him a cigar. He's smoking on that Joe Burrow pack. Yeah. With that being the case, let's refer to him as LeVon in the name that you prefer. Do you spy LeVon in this game?
Well, if he plays like a LeVon, you have to spy him. But if he plays like a Patrick, you know, you just go after him in the pocket. But all jokes aside, I don't – you know what? I never thought about spying Patrick Mahomes. When I think of spying quarterbacks, Reggie, I think Josh Allen, I think Lamar Jackson. Yeah. I think maybe a Jalen Hurts. Patrick Mahomes did such an awesome job keeping the play extended with his legs and staying where he can still throw it, not passing the line of scrimmage. I don't know if I spy that type of guy. I just get after him. You know, I tell them, y'all sacked Josh Allen 8 times, and that is one of the most athletic, strongest running quarterbacks in the game. We're going to get after Patrick Mahomes the same way, but I don't know if I want to sacrifice a defensive player just by spying a quarterback who does an awesome, awesome job extending the plays, going east and west and a little bit forward before he passes the line of scrimmage. So I wouldn't spy him, but I would tell the defense, do not change up your rush. Do not rush conservative. Do not be afraid to just really get after this guy.
I do want to talk about the offense and what you've seen. It's weird because you're grading it on a curve compared to what you thought it would be. But it seems to finally be in something of a groove. I mean, it's an offense that's not going to wow anybody, but they're starting to find themselves. What are you seeing from the offense here?
You know, just what you said, a group that's getting more comfortable. Shout out to Davis Mills. And I hate to, you know, bring up just one guy because football is the ultimate team sport. But when you have a backup quarterback going there, and it's a little bit easy when you have the best defense in the game, and you rip off 3 wins and then you plug in your starter and, you know, they continue to operate the way they've been. But I'll say this, John, I don't want to settle for, and I feel like we've all settled, but in the preseason when we talked, we were expecting this offense to be lights out, and then reality hit, and with the injury, then we were so appreciative of Davis Mills. But my thought with C.J. Stroud being one of the top young quarterbacks in the game, no, like we need to have a lights out day. You know, there needs to be a day sooner than later where, yes, this defense is balling out, but we can point to the offense and say, man, what? How about those 35 points or, you know, 41 points they put up there? Like, we need to have that. And I feel like there's still enough with this offense. There's still some room to continue to improve, to have that dominant performance. Like, I'm still expecting a dominant performance from this offense, mainly because you have one of the best wide receivers in the AFC in Nico Collins, not that I need to mention his name. And we're all saying that C.J. Stroud is eventually going to be a $50, $60 million a year quarterback. All right, well, let's see that lights out game. So I'm still holding them to a high, high level.
ND, you knew you weren't going to get through a conversation with me without a little negative in here.
But you know what? I respect that. Like, you can't just say, oh, we got the win. You know, like, okay, well, we got the win. What are we going to do to continue to get that?
That's
so
right.
Go ahead. Point it out.
Well, I don't even have to put names on it because I don't really want to. I'm just very interested in the locker room, what is the conversation like? Or is there a conversation if there's a player that is clearly being picked on at times?
Like, and I'm not sure where you're going with this, so I don't want to. So when you say being picked on, like maybe a cornerback, and
like a Miles Bryant, for instance.
All right, I didn't do that. That was him.
I'm just kind of throwing a random name out there.
Just a random name. So that's a good question. So the conversation, it's not really so much in the locker room because guys know how to stay in their lane. It's more in the position room. So if a cornerback, a nickelback, a backup defensive back who's getting more playing time is getting picked on. One, he's getting coached up. You know, we're all men. You're getting paid. Put your, you know, feelings aside and let's spend some extra time coaching them up. And then it's on the field. Hey, what are the routes you're having trouble with? This is where, and I've seen not this exact situation, but this type of leadership when I was in Philadelphia with the, Bobby Taylors, Troy Vincents of the world. You go to the guy and say, hey, what's the route that you're having trouble with? Okay, after practice, hey, practice squad, wide receiver, give us these routes. And then you just kind of learn how to play it. You get the mental rep, you get the physical rep, and you really focus on it. So it's not so much Reggie in the locker room saying, hey, so-and-so, keep your head up. Or hey, so-and-so, you need to step it up. It's more the true leadership. Yeah. Hey, after practice, man, let's spend 15, 20 minutes, and these are the 3 routes that are just hurting you the most, and let's talk through it.
See, it wasn't too negative, was it?
No, that's just real. That's a good question. Thank now, you. If it truly is Miles Bryant, then I'd be pissed off, John. but I'm just speaking in generality.
Of course, just generally
that's
speaking.
That's all we're doing, just generally speaking with Chief Commander Andy Kalu, who joins us every Thursday. Dude, we appreciate your time, and looking forward to talking to you next week.
Real quick, who y'all got tonight?
I think I'm going with the Cowboys.
I think,
man.
I'm going with the Cowboys too.
Yeah, I'm with y'all. I think they're kind of riding high, similar to these Texans. So,
yeah. All Texas Super Bowl, baby.
Exactly. You stole the thought from me.
Yeah. All right, my man. Have a good one. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Appreciate y'all.
There he is, Andy Kalu, joining us in Loop on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's get into what's popping. Where the Rockets played last night, got a victory, but then also, do we know where Kyle Tucker might be landing next? We'll talk about all that next. All right, let's get into what's popping here on a Thirsty Thursday. In fact, that reminds me, Thirsty Thursday, the fellas will be out at Buffalo Wild Wings. You know what time it is during
football spring
today?
Season.
They are indeed
in
spring today. You know what's about to happen. I know what's about to happen. I'm about to say, I got to remember what the address is.
And well, we always know the address.
And, yeah. You would think I could break this cycle, but I can't. The actual address that you'll want to go to in spring is 6825 North Grand Parkway out there in spring. Make sure that you pop out, see the fellas, get you something to eat, get you something to drink. And thanks to Bud Light for putting that thing together.
I just can't help myself.
I know.
I just can't help myself.
I know.
You just gave the address, and in my mind, I was thinking something else.
8507 Queens Boulevard.
Just look for the place in spring. Don't worry about the address. Just put it in your Google Maps.
I'm always careful because, I mean, Houston is a real big place, man. Yeah. Sometimes it's multiple Buffalo Wild Wings locations over there.
I feel like the one thing about Houston, though, you could just say, hey, I want to go to the Buffalo Wild Wings over at, in Baytown.
You know where it is.
You'd be like, oh, the one in Baytown, off of so-and-so.
Yeah, but every once in a while, it'd be two, in the area. You know what I mean? So I like giving the address just in case.
Yeah, or just try to get the street at least.
Yeah
So it's off of North Grand Parkway in spring. Go out and see the fellas, enjoy fellowship, let us know if you're heading out there. 713-572-4610. Some other things that are popping. Did you see the injury report yesterday?
I did. A lot of guys DNPs, but I'm not really that worried too much.
Okay, so you knew what question I was going to ask. Just to let you know, those guys who did not practice for your Texans: Will Anderson Jr., Danico Autry, Trent Brown, Jamal Hill, Kamari Lassiter, Woody Marks, Jalen Reed, which feels evident because he's dealing with that forearm, and Tim Settle. Mm-hmm. It feels like a good amount of them are probably like veteran type days, especially as we get later into the season. I think D'Amico talked about that in his in the coach's show on Monday, the idea of this time of year, maybe less physical and more mental reps type stuff. But the ones that jumped out to me were Jalen Reed, for obvious reason, Woody Marks is an interesting one for me, and then Kamari Lassiter with dealing with his foot.
I was going to say Jalen Reed and Woody Marks. Jalen Reed is going to be out. I think it's probably safe to say at this
broke
point.
Broke a plate in his arm.
He broke a steel plate in his arm.
Not the bone, though. Bone fine.
No, the bone is cool. The plate, not so much. And Woody Marks, just because you can gut it out, and he...
I kind of figured he was going to miss some practice time.
At least practice time. We all know about the adrenaline of the game, and you get taped up, and he finishes, and it was really, really big time effort that he gave to finish and played real well. But once the game's over and, swelling and, everything settles down, it might be a little worse. So of all the ones on here, the one I'd be a little worried about more than anything would probably be Woody Marks.
And the one that I guess maybe more important on the other side, because I still feel like Woody Marks, in fact, I think he said it yesterday, hey, man, I wasn't going to miss no game.
Yeah.
Right? Like that. And as in regards to coming back into the game last week, which makes me think that with that mentality, he will be out on the field in Kansas City at Sunday Night Football. On the other side of things out there in Kansas City, I don't know where their practice facility is. You're just going to have to live with that one for me. Trey Smith, the guard, and Juwan Taylor, the tackles. The other tackle outside of Josh Simmons, who's already gone to IR, they both did not participate. Look, they could find themselves in a circumstance with those guys. Both those guys have been dealing with injury, and I believe they both missed the game last week. That could put them in a place where they're missing three starting offensive linemen. So that's going to be something I continue to monitor because
time to eat.
Like, does that in my brain that puts the Chiefs in a circumstance where they're having to try and keep guys in to protect those backup tackles that end up playing in guards or whatever? And then are they doing max protect, throwing to two or three routes down the field as opposed to having a full complement of routes? And how that feels like that plays into the Texans' hands in a big way.
Well, absolutely. Yeah, I don't see any way that they're not going to be using the short passing game a lot, which, of course, translates to Travis Kelce, too. So that's always a danger. But also have extra bodies in there to protect. Because, I mean, lines that are at full strength, you know, the Buffalo Bills gave up 8 sacks. You don't think they're going to account for that? They have to.
Would have to. I know Pat does a great job of keeping his head on a swivel, extending plays and making plays, but that's quite a test of just how good his playmaking will be. So that's
they just got to run the ball with Damian Pierce, man.
Oh, that's right.
Let me ask you this, because this has been a conversation point. I've seen it pop up. Do you think that the Damian Pierce attempt to silo or salvage information about the Texans, do you have any concerns about that, or do you believe that to be any level of potentially effective for the Kansas City Chiefs?
No, I think you're silly if you don't have some concern, whether it's the Texans and maybe changing a few things up, or certainly the Chiefs maybe getting some insight into what 100%. I mean, it's just the way it works, and they're signing your check now. I mean, absolutely there's concern on both sides, or at least there's an effect on both sides.
Yeah, the thing that I keep thinking, though, is this offense feels so early on in what they're doing and, like, finding some level. I do wonder how much he could actually bring to this, how much of what this offense does, especially as a game plan offense, game-to-game type offense, how much of that actually comes to the fore here. And I'm not even just talking about plays, but even tendencies, because – what are the tendencies that you've seen established from Nick Haley? Can you tell them to me?
Well, look, I think he's going to be able to offer some insight that others just simply cannot. Whether it's a tendency, play calls, who knows? But I think things that he likes to do, how they like to set up pass protections, that to me, pass protections and how they like to set up run blocking, I think is what he's really going to be, they're going to pick his brain on.
Sure. Okay. I can see that. Yeah. Some other things that are popping. Rockets got a victory last night versus the Sacramento Kings, who were in town. The final score looks a lot easier than the game was for a period of time. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, the final was 121-95 with, I believe, Alper Şengün leading the way.
28.
Points, 28 and things. Kevin Durant also added 24 on 9-16 shooting, significantly more efficient than what you had Monday night versus the Jazz in Utah. But this game was real close until the third quarter, where they absolutely murked the Sacramento Kings.
I was worried. It looked like it was, I think I texted you guys, it looked like a preseason game.
Real sloppy.
It was incredible. Turnovers, backcourt violations, just like really couldn't finish the bunnies, at the rim. It was just really one of those things where you start to think, okay, well, this is just going to be one of those nights. Fortunately, the Kings are not real good and they're not real big. And that is what ultimately turned the tide. Şengün, you mentioned him. I thought Steven Adams, yet another Steven Adams type game.
We're getting to the point where Steven Adams needs to end his career here, period.
It's I think he had 17 minutes. He only played 17 minutes and was one of the biggest factors.
Sorry,
in the game.
You are wildly incorrect. He played 18 minutes.
18 minutes, okay.
How dare you? How dare you?
And he's just impacting the game as much as anyone. I thought,
dude, he's a turner of the character. He turns the vibes of the game.
Yeah,
he is not only an offensive rebounder affecting the offense that way. Mm-hmm. That boy's scoring.
He is.
That boy's a defensive menace. I think he pins somebody to the backboard in this game. Mm-hmm. It is wildly fun when Steven Adams clocks into the game in a way that you wouldn't imagine.
Yeah.
With Steven Adams.
And you mentioned Kevin Durant. If it wasn't for Kevin Durant in the first half, they would have been trailing by maybe 8 or 10 points at the half. He kept them in the game early. I think he had 6 or 7 assists in the first half.
I don't know how many he had in the first half. Mm-hmm. He finished with 8.
Yeah, yeah. I think he had at least 6 in the first half. He carried, kept them afloat in the first half, and that's another little sort of added value of what Kevin Durant can do. When everything is a bleep show, at least he can still knock down some shots and create some things.
Yeah, he's one of the better initiators, actually, in what they're doing. It's one of the things I continue looking at as we're all gearing up for figuring out what the point guard situation is. And to that end, Josh Okogie starts again in this one. Thoughts on seeing Josh Okogie step back in and Reed Sheppard going to the bench?
Look, I think they're trying to spitball here. I don't think they've lost any confidence in Reed Sheppard. I thought Reed Sheppard had some very good moments in this game as well. But I think they're trying to find it. They're trying to find, you know, the answer here.
832 mentioning Amen was getting loose too. Absolutely.
Yes, he was.
Go ahead and pencil this down. Tomorrow there will be a conversation about, or maybe we have the conversation today. Who knows? About Amen Thompson, because he hasn't been bad by any stretch. But this doesn't feel like the maximum effect of what Amen Thompson should be.
It's not what you expect
right now. No. So yeah. I kind of want to dive into that at some point. But you get a victory, and you got the day off until you have the Suns come into town. Some familiar faces coming to town for Friday night. And one more, Kyle Tucker. He is a free agent. Obviously, only he's a season removed from being an Astro, but there's still a level of intrigue into where he lands.
Yeah.
What have you seen there, John Lopez?
Well, they flew him into their facility, they being the Toronto Blue Jays in Dunedin, Florida. And that long, day-long meetings, they're offering him. Well, you don't fly him.
That's becoming Astros North, ain't it?
Well, it has, but not only that. I mean, what I take out of this is like the American League ain't no cupcake anymore.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I'm glad you didn't say whatever it sounded like you was about to say. Yeah,
they lost that World Series and like, we about to load up now.
Yep. Between them and the Mariners, and obviously we know the usual suspects in the AL East beyond the Toronto Blue Jays. There's work to be done, but Kyle Tucker, if I had to bet today, will be a Toronto Blue Jay.
Yeah, that's going to go from being a cool story that we could all get behind over there in Toronto to being okay.
Yeah,
calm down very quickly. But we'll see. Astros got to focus on their own sheet, get their things together. We mentioned they added a pitcher yesterday, but we'll see how they continue to go about the winter and getting their team ready for baseball. I'm going to force myself to not do the countdown to this many days to pitchers and catchers report, because it always it happens.
Please
so
don't
quickly
do that.
It happens so quickly though. That's one of the things in sports that upsets me the most, and it's not because I'm mad at anybody in particular. It's just, damn, how are we already here? Is that you blink and you look up and you're like, oh yeah, 30 days till pitch, and you're like, what happened?
Yeah.
How did we get here?
It seems like the people that do that is the people that I don't want to call them anti-Texans fans, but the ones like, hey guys, you guys are focused on the Texans, but it's 30 days until pitchers report.
Yeah, I hate that so much. I hate that so much.
It's almost a baseball town, guys.
It's almost like it's not, but it's almost like there's an aloofness there. Like, I am a seam head, and I know that, we should be talking. We love the freaking Astros. We talk about them when appropriate. Pitchers and catchers reporting, cool. It'll be mentioned when it happens.
And by the way, I like being right. And here I am again, 936. There are two Buffalo Wild Wings in spring. Hold that, Lopez. So the address is necessary.
No, the street. Get the street.
Yeah.
All you got to do is say
off of Grand Parkway.
Yeah, the Buffalo spring. Wild Wings in spring off of Grand Parkway.
I can get there. I know where that one is.
No, you don't.
Kind of do, actually.
All right.
I kind of do.
Well, then we'll see you out there at the Buffalo Wild Wings then.
Sure.
Okay. All right. You're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Time to go behind enemy lines. We're gearing up for this Kansas City Chiefs game. And no other name came to mind when we're gearing up to face off against the Chiefs than your old partner, John Lopez, Nick Wright. Let's give him a little hell and have some fun. We'll talk about that next.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience. And it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had. And the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day. And everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-Bone at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-Bone.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.